When Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told his companions, who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and he had seen her, they did not believe. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them walking along their way to the country. They returned and told others, but they did not believe them either. But later, as the 11 were at table, he appeared to them and rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had been raised. He said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." The gospel of the Lord. Sisters in Christ, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Alleluia. Alleluia. We are in the time of Easter, and we are quickly coming upon one of the greatest feast days of the year, other than Easter, which is Divine Mercy Sunday, which is tomorrow. And I really do believe that in the church, God the Father is sort of dropping, I would call, a grace bomb on humanity. Tomorrow is Divine Mercy Sunday, but also John the 23rd and Blessed John Paul II will become saints, two apostles of mercy. And I believe that we are in a time where this message of God's love and mercy is so vitally important. We live in a world where many do not know Jesus Christ, where many find themselves trapped in sin and addiction, where many people have no hope. And our Lord has come to give us the good news that he is risen. And so this morning, and this the theme of this retreat is the power of God's mercy in finding the beauty of God through his attributes of mercy. If someone were to ask you, what is the greatest characteristic or attribute of Jesus Christ, the answer would be what? His mercy. His mercy endures forever. And thank God for his mercy. Where will we be without the merciful love of our Lord Jesus Christ? And so this morning, to sort of set up the theme, I want to talk about what's called the ABCs of mercy, the principles of mercy. Now remember, in the early part of the 20th century, St. Faustina, a young nun in Poland, had the gift to have our Lord Jesus Christ appear to her in human form, as visible as I am to you. He showed in person. Now, obviously, our Lord does appear to us every day at Mass in Holy Communion, but we can't see him with our physical eyes. We see the appearance of bread and wine, but we know that truly is who? That's him. It's Jesus Christ. But our Lord appeared to her in physical form, and he asked her to preach about mercy. And if you have read the diary of St. Faustina, it can really be broken down into an ABC. The A is this. We need to continue ourselves as broken sinners to constantly what? Ask for God's mercy. To ask not just for other people, but first and foremost for what? Ourselves. And right now, in this pontificate of Pope Francis, what is his big message? Mercy. And what did Pope Francis say when they asked him, who is Cardinal Bergoglio? He said what? I am a saint. Wrong. I am a sinner. And he talked about the church being what? A hospital for sinners after a war. And maybe many of us have found life to be somewhat of a war, a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's very biblical. How many know that every day is a battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil? And I wish there was a magic pill for that. But you know there is. It's called God's mercy. You know, and we look at today's gospel, we see this character, a woman. and her name is Mary Magdalene. Why did Jesus appear to Mary Magdalene first? Now, we know who he really did appear to first. It's not in the Bible, the Blessed Mother. But that was a secret meeting. St. Leo the Great, in a beautiful sermon, said that he was so anxious to rise from the dead to go see his mother, that he wanted to be with his mom and comfort her after these 3 days of agony, because she was very distraught and very sad, which is an understatement. And so our Lord rushed from the tomb to meet his mother, but biblically, in the Bible, who did he appear to first? Mary Magdalene. And it says in the scriptures that this is a woman that Jesus had freed 7 demons from her. 7. And some biblical scholars say, and I believe this, if you ever watched The Passion of the Christ, that Mary Magdalene was a woman caught in adultery. And that these men, these Jewish men, took her to throw her in front of Jesus and says, the Bible says, stone her, what do you say? And he writes in the sand and says, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And one by one, the men dropped their stones. And then this woman, Mary, who has been used and abused, as many women today in this century. You know, there's been such a movement, you know, for equal rights, but I don't think since the Roman times, women have been more abused and used than in modern times. Discarded, used, abused. And you know, you think of Martha and why she's so full of shame, and I think it's really unfair. If you look at the Bible, the women always get blamed for the sin. Hello? Now I'm speaking as a man, but I'm trying to be fair here. I mean, this woman is there, and they say, look what she's done. She committed adultery, and some Bible scholars say, believe it or not, that the man who committed the sin with her had a stone in his hand and was about to stone the woman that he had committed adultery with. But you know, that's how things are today, unfortunately. And I think for some women, it's very hard for women to accept God's mercy because, you know, men are expected to mess up. We have expressions like what? Boys will be boys. You don't say girls will be girls, do they? Women are exposed to be pure, holy, chaste, wait till marriage, all these other things, decent with their speech. Men can cuss and sow their wild oats. And so it is a little bit unfair. And I think, you know, as women, and especially when you teach your daughters, tell them, don't marry a boy. Marry a man. If you marry a boy, you'll have a boy. If you expect them to be gentlemen, you'll marry a man. And we've allowed men to be boys. And women have this power. But on the flip side of this, women many times, they struggle with mercy because we're not supposed to commit these sins. We're women. Mary Magdalene felt like this. I'm sure she went to the temple when she was a young girl. She dressed up for the Sabbath. And then down the road, something went wrong. And she found herself a prostitute. But then she met Jesus. And this is the story for many women today. I mean, think about certain sins that are really the woman's fault. Let's take abortion. It's always the woman's sin. Nothing's ever said about the man who drove her, who paid for it, who forced her to do it. It always becomes the woman's fault. And guess who carries the shame? The woman. And John Paul II, when he was talking about John chapter 8, this scene of this woman being stoned, he asked the question, where is the man? And so, women have to be open to the mercy of God and know that men and women both sin. But culturally, women have been set up for failure. They're expected the world, but then when they fall, they're blamed for everything. And so it's hard for a woman to open up to God's mercy because of that very cultural setup. In the Jewish Bible, remember, if a woman was caught in adultery, what happened? She was stoned. What about the man? He couldn't go to Mass for a couple weeks. Do you see the problem? But culturally, it's still like this. But a man and woman both have to be open to the graces of God's mercy. And so a woman has to be able to, like Mary Magdalene, to allow Jesus to heal the demons that have afflicted her because of this culture of death. Because of this culture that has used and abused women. And for some women, it's not their fault. For some women, it is their fault. But regardless, it doesn't matter. All of us need what? God's mercy. Fulton Sheen says this: there are two ways of knowing God, knowing how good and loving God is. One is by never losing him through preservation of innocence, and the other is by finding him after one has been lost. When someone has lost God and fallen into a black hole, and then what? Found his loving mercy as this woman did. And Jesus raises from the dead and says, listen, Mary, I have risen. There's life after sin. You know, Pope Francis said, it's not God tires of forgiving us. He says what? It is us that tire of asking for forgiveness. And what do we say about mercy? That God's mercy is what? Inexhaustible. That means there's no limit to God's mercy. If a person is sorry, God will take that sin upon himself if we have a contrite heart and are willing to amend our lives. And so we need to ask for God's mercy. Our Lord told St. Faustina, it says, souls that make an appeal to my mercy delight me. To such souls I grant even more than they ask. How many know that God gives us more than we ask? He gives us so much more than we ask. And he says this, beg for mercy, not just for yourselves, but for the whole world. No soul has called upon my mercy has ever been left disappointed. No one who has come to God's mercy has been left disappointed. And that is the mystery of God's love. You know, we as humans, and we'll talk about this with the spiritual works of mercy, and when people offend us, we give them like 3 or 4 chances, and that's it. But with God, it doesn't work that way. His love and mercy is what? Inexhaustible. And so we should never tire of the beautiful gift of the sacrament of reconciliation. And how many here can attest to the fact that you are a new woman because of God's mercy in confession? It's awful quiet out there. Okay. That's why we have confessions this afternoon. Amen. But don't be afraid. Even if it's the same old stuff, don't be afraid. Open your soul like Mary. You know, there's a great story. You know, John Paul will be ordained. I'm not ordained. He'll be canonized. He's already ordained. He's dead. He'll be canonized, a saint tomorrow. And he truly was an apostle of mercy. Do you know, John Paul II went to confession. I've heard 2 different stories. Some people say every day, some say once a week. Regardless, he was a frequent visitor to the sacrament of reconciliation himself. And he always tells priests, he says, you men ought to be going every week, because how can you dish out God's mercy unless you first experience it? How can you tell others that they're forgiven if you yourselves do not experience that in your own priesthood? And priests, first and foremost, must be frequent visitors to the tribunal of God's mercy. And so there's a great story, and I've told it before, but I just love it because it shows how he had such a compassionate and merciful Christ-like heart. A man who was very truthful, and he was not afraid to tell you if it was a sin, but when the people came to him forgiven, he was like a lamb. And there was a story about a priest that went to Rome to visit and do what's called a papal audience. And this was a special audience for priests, where you go in and he gives a talk, and then one by one you go up and you shake the hand of the Pope, which must have been fantastic. And so anyway, he's on his way. He's dressed up in his best clerics, and he's got his hair all ready and, you know, shaved that morning and everything. And as he's walking, he passes his church, and I wish I'd stopped there when we went to Rome. He passed this church, and he heard a voice in an American dialect saying, do you got any money? And there's all these beggars in front of the church. He looks and says, what's an American beggar doing here? And he looked at the face, and he said, oh, my goodness. He said, Mark, what are you doing here? Mark was a priest who had left the priesthood and had decided to just go to Rome. And Mark said, well, you know, unlike you, you were a rock star. Everything went well for you. My priesthood, the first 2 years were terrible. I was with a terrible pastor. I got frustrated, got involved with certain things, and I blew it. And I felt ashamed. How can I be a priest? And so I just left. And so I decided I'll just beg. And so he looked at him. He says, well, can we talk? Can we do something? He says, leave me. And he goes, okay. And so he gives him a couple of dollars. He says, I'm coming back. So he goes to the papal audience, this other priest, and after he had had the audience, he went up and one by one, and as he went up to the Holy Father, he grabbed the Holy Father, which you're not supposed to do, right? And he said, my friend, my priest friend, is a beggar. You need to help him. And so the Swiss guards quickly pulled him off and dragged him out of there. And he went back to his hotel. And when he got to his hotel, there was a message in the mailbox. And it says, you're invited to dinner with the Holy Father at the Papal Palace. Bring the beggar priest. So he goes back to this church, and he says, Dave, did I change his name? Yeah. It's irrelevant. There's like four priests. They're all messed up. So he tells him, he says, guess what, we're going for dinner. And he goes, where? He says, with the Pope's palace. He goes, yeah, funny. He goes, no, I'm dead serious. Look at this. He says, what are you talking about? I says, I told the Holy Father. He says, you did what? He says, we're going. He says, well, look at me. I says, yeah, you need a shower. So he took him back to the hotel, got him showered up, put him into some civvy clothes, and they went to the palace. Dinner was, I would say, awkward. And they're sitting eating, and at the end, between dinner and dessert, the Holy Father said to the priest, who was in good standing, Mark, that was a bad idea. He said, leave me with him, with Mark. And so the priest left, and he sat outside for 25 minutes, just pacing around. And then they went back in, had dessert, very quiet. He could tell that his friend Mark had some red eyes. He'd been crying. And they're walking back, no, silent, 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 silent. And he says, okay, what happened? What happened in there? What did you do for 25 minutes? He goes, well, you left the room, and then immediately the Holy Father got on his knees, and he said, Father, hear my confession. He says, what did you do? Well, I told him, I can't. I'm not in good standing. I'm a mess. I lost my faculties. And the Holy Father said, I'm Pope. I reinstate you. Hear my confession. So he heard his confession. Then he goes, then what did you do? I got on my knees. I said, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 6 years since my last confession. These are my sins. And then he said, what do you get for penance? He said, he made me the pastor of the church we're walking to. He says, you know what it is to be a beggar. You help them. And that was Martha. Martha knew what it was to be on the other side of the ditch. She knew what it was to be broken. She knew what it was to, who knows what she did. But because she had felt the forgiveness of God, she was able to tell others about it. And like she did, she went back and told others. And I hope, ladies, you're bringing others to confession. And you can witness to the fact that I have been dead and now I'm alive. I'm lost and now I'm found. That you've asked for God's mercy and you're asking others to stop being stubborn and staying dead in their sin. To ask for God's mercy. And so next we have to be merciful. I'm just going to quickly go through this. That we can't just sit there and ask for mercy, we need to go out and be merciful. And what I'll talk about is that we do this through what? The works of mercy. Jesus told St. Faustina, I demand from you deeds of mercy, which are to arise out of love for me. You are to show mercy to your neighbors and always and everywhere. You must not shrink from this or try to excuse yourself from it. Even the strongest faith is of no avail without works. In other words, we could be prayer warriors, but if we're not doing anything to help people, James will say your faith is what? Dead. You know, We'll talk more about this in the talk, but you know what the Catholic despondent answer to problems is? You know, all we can do is pray about it. Hello? All right, now, yes, there are certain things all we can do is pray about it, but I think too quickly we do this sort of, there's nothing we can do about it, there's nothing we can say, we're just going to have to pray about it, because many times we are just cowards. We don't say anything. We don't do anything. We don't correct people. We don't call people out. We don't help them to see God. God needs us to be other Christ, and God called people out on their sins. Because mercy makes no sense without what? Sin. Mercy means being left off the hook for something we should be punished for. But we live in a culture, I'm okay, you're okay. That's not okay. We need to spread the gospel to people. We need to be courageous. And we need to love people in their sin, but not affirm them in their sin. Amen? Not to affirm them in their sin. And that's the problem of America today. We have to be disciples of mercy. And we do this by being merciful. We'll talk about this. And those are the corporal, feeding the hungry, taking care of the poor, admonishing the sinner, praying for those, instructing the ignorant. All these things bring people to Christ. People don't want to just hear about it. They want to see it. They want to see, do you believe? Let me see your life. Have you experienced the risen Christ? Are you courageous enough to tell me what's right and wrong? Because it can't be just the priest. And priests have to do a better job too. Bishops have to do a better job of teaching truth with charity. There is a thing called absolute truth, and it is Jesus Christ and his teachings. They will never change. They are the same yesterday and today. And you can't be Catholic if you do not believe in absolute truth. You cannot be a Catholic in good standing if you don't believe what Jesus says is true. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And lastly, we have to be confident in God's mercy. We have to have complete trust in God's mercy. Complete trust also in God's providence. That if we are faithful to God, if we go to Him with a sincere and contrite heart, if we give our best to God, and even though we've seen that we fail, God can make a way out of what? No way. And one of the hardest things to do for us is what? To surrender to God's providence. And what does it say under the divine mercy picture? Jesus, I trust in you. You know, I want you to pray about that very hard today. Ask Jesus that question. Do I really trust you, Lord? Even though things are bad right now? Do I really trust you that my kids are off the plantation, so to speak? Do I really trust you with the darkness I'm experiencing or the tragedy I experienced this year? Do I really trust you with my problems? Do I really trust you with my weakness? Do I really trust that you have risen? Because our faith is not trust in just rules and regulations. It's trust in who? A person, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and has risen from the dead. Our trust is in God. But do we really trust Him when it seems like the waves of life are coming down, crashing upon us? Can we truly say, Jesus, I trust in you? And we know that story of Peter. Remember, he just had all these great resolutions and coming off the boat, and he says, Lord, if it's really you, let me walk in the water. And he begins to walk. And he's ice skating on the water. But then he takes his eyes off Christ and looks at the waves and begins to sink very quickly. And he called out for a lifeguard. Praise God, there was one there on the scene. His name is Jesus. And he grabbed his arm with his strong arm. The Lord is very strong. And he pulled him up and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you not trust me? Keep your eyes on the prize. And any time we begin to sink in our faith, it's because our eyes have been taken off our Lord. And they've been cast upon someone else, or something else, or even one's fears. And so constantly that prayer is so vitally important. Jesus, increase my faith. And so today we will explore this. We need to continually ask for God's mercy. And remember, God's mercy is what? Inexhaustible. Those who come to the Lord are always forgiven. St. Jose Maria says, I am a prodigal son 100 times a day. We need to be merciful. We can't just sit back and just expect things to happen. The Lord wants to use us to make that bridge happen, to bring people to Christ. We need to evangelize. And finally, we have to have C, complete trust. That God can make a way out of no way. That God sometimes permits evil for what? A greater good. And it's easier to say to your friends, oh, something good will come out of it. That always works well, doesn't it? People get sick of hearing that. But is it true? Is it true? Yes. This past week we celebrated what? That Jesus died on the cross. That was the worst evil ever committed in the history of mankind. And out of it came what? The greatest good. God can make good out of evil. God can make a way out of no way. Hallelujah.